Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message and learn more about God, life, and you. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationedmonton.com and follow us on Instagram at celebrationedm. Enjoy this message.
We are starting a brand new series. I want to welcome those who are watching live stream as well, called Storms. And this series is not inspired by last month, just so you know. It's not like, wow, man, there was all these tornadoes and, you know, hurricanes and stuff going on, and, you know, fires. And no, that's not what it's about. Actually, I've been thinking about doing this series for a long, long time. And just more recently, coming into summer, felt like, okay, now I need to plan for this. Because I watch people go through storms. I watch people go through storms, and thing I've noticed about it is that storms change people, but not always for the better. And so I just believe that we can storm-proof our lives, that we can ready our lives, that we can prepare our thinking so that when a storm happens, not if, because storms happen, that we're better ready to respond in a biblical way, and in a way that engages God, and in a way that helps us be able to go through the storm and come out the other side, a different person, but a better person. And I just believe that that's what can happen, because that's really, I believe, God's intention is to walk with us through these things. Well, as we talk about a storm, what's a storm? What do you mean by a storm? It's these things that happen in our life that take our lives from the predictable to the chaotic. It's when things seem to be manageable, but now they're just something we're enduring. It's when things go from control to out of control, from safe to insecure, from certainty to uncertainty, from clear expectations to a foggy future. It's when we go from I know what to expect to I fear what to expect. From the known to the unknown, from peace to turmoil. These are some of the ways that we could describe a storm in our life. And they come in all sorts of forms and fashions and affect all kinds of different dynamics of our life. And they impact us. They impact our mind. We go from peace to racing for answers. They impact our emotions with a range of fear and insecurity to sometimes just being numb. They impact us spiritually, from being in a place of feeling so in touch with God to actually questioning everything, including our faith. And physically, they can de-energize and they can drain you. I mean, they just have such a broad effect on our lives. Well, today we're going to look at a storm that happened in Scripture, the one that actually took place in a boat out on a lake. And I'm the right guy for this message. I'm just going to let you know that you got the right guy, because I cannot tell you how many times that I have been on a boat, on a lake, and been in a storm. That song we just sang—that's Adam's favorite song, right there. I'll be in the storm and will not fear, because he's usually the one there. And I've been thinking about you, Adam, and thinking you're my Jonah. I just need to throw you overboard; everything will be fine. You're it, baby. But so I'm very comfortable with this story. And Jesus, in this story, wants to get to the other side of the lake. You say, why does he want to get there? I think I know. They serve ice cream. Yeah. At the other side of the lake. I mean, that's usually that's my story. It's ice cream. It's always ice cream. That's my Achilles heel, man. That's my addiction. And I ain't signing up for no 12-step either. I don't care. It's summer, it's hot, we're going for ice cream. Yeah, but have you listened to the weather report? Don't believe everything you hear. That's usually how it goes. So twice this summer, I literally twice had to beach a boat and wait for a storm to blow over before we could get the boat to safety and all the rest of it. And once, this was the best one, I'll tell you this one because it was so good. We're like at Mamio Beach getting ice cream, and on the radio we're hearing that wonderful, you know, that sound that, you know, and we're like, what's that? And they said, oh, that's the tornado warning. And so I had what I thought in that moment the appropriate response to a tornado warning, which is, we better hurry and get in the boat and get back home before the tornado, because that's where you want to be, is out on the middle of the lake when the tornado blows through. Am I right? Yeah, sure, sure. So anyway, we did get back. We had to beach the boat and wait for it to blow over, like literally. And so crazy, crazy storm stories. Okay, Luke chapter 8, verse 22. We're reading here from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus' story of the storm. One day Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake to get ice cream. I just threw that in there. So they got into the boat and they set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're going down. We're going to drown, baby. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Where's your faith? He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Let's get into this. What are we going to learn about our storms from this incident with Jesus? And you can follow along in notes. You can follow along, using your technology. But number one, the presence of a storm does not mean the absence of God. The presence of a storm does not mean the absence of God. This is where our thoughts take us in storms. I've heard so many comments coming out of storms of, where's God? In fact, David struggled with the very same thing. In Psalms 10 and verse 1, he says, why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In other words, David got into storms in his life. He got into problems in his life and began to feel like, where's God? Like, how come God isn't here? But you need to know something. Jesus was in the boat when they were in the storm. God's presence was right there in their midst. And when your life goes into a storm, it doesn't look like God is in your boat. In that moment, if they'd have, been texting their friends, where are you? Oh, we're out on the lake. What's happening? We're in a storm. It's like rocking. Who's with you? Oh, we got God in our boat. And we're about to drown. It's great. It's wonderful. It didn't look like God was in the boat. How many know something? Your life can be in a storm, and it doesn't look like God's in your boat. Things are rocking, things are rolling, waves are hitting you. It looks like you're about to get overtaken. I mean, you can be going through, the marriage boat can be rocking. You're also quiet and holy out there, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. Your marriage boat can be rocking. I want you to know something. Jesus is still in the boat. He didn't leave. He's still there. You're parenting kids, and you're like, my gosh, if people look at my kids, they think I'm a Satan worshiper. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's rocking, man. I'm dealing with stuff with my kids, but God's still in your boat. You can be going through financial storms and wondering, am I going to actually get to the other side? Am I going to make it? Listen, he's still in the boat with you. No matter what it is, you can be dealing with your health, and it's really rocky, but you need to know something. Jesus is in your boat. When Joseph was taken into slavery and then prison and betrayed by his family and lied about and spent 13 years in captivity, scripture says about him, sure didn't look like God was with him. And yet you can read in the scriptures that that was his statement in the midst of this horrible situation, that the Lord was with me. Jesus said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Jesus is not your fair weather friend. He is present in the storm. When you're in the storm, you haven't failed God. You haven't offended the Holy Spirit. You haven't committed the unpardonable sin. God hasn't given up on you. You just need to remind yourself that God is present in your storm. And you may not feel like it, but with your faith, which is not feelings, with your faith, you choose to believe, God, you are with me in the midst of this storm. You still hear my prayers. You're still going to answer. You're going to see me through. I'm still keeping faith in the midst of this storm. It's not the same as in the peaceful times. God's presence is not the same in a storm as it is in a worship service. Hello. But it's still there all the same. Number two, the presence of God does not mean the absence of storms. Flip it around. Presence of God doesn't mean the absence of storms. Why do we think like this? I think somewhere in our mind, we just, you know, buy into, hey, I've become a Christian, and I invited Jesus to get into my life, and man, I just, things are so wonderful. Surely I must have got a get out of storm pass card when Jesus came into my world. But you know, I've noticed this, and that is that when it pours rain like it does here in the summer, that every home in my neighborhood gets soaked. Doesn't pass over mine. You know, when it snows, everybody's got to clear their driveways. The snow doesn't look and go, oh, you're a Christian. Guy beside you is an unbeliever. We'll just double the snow up on his driveway. You may want to wear earplugs because he's going to be cussing trying to clear that thing, but no, it doesn't do that, does it? When it snows, everybody gets it. Everybody gets it. When strong winds blow through and trees are falling over like we've experienced even recently, guess what? They fall over in my yard in the same way they fall over in every neighbor's yard. God's grace doesn't mean that you get a get out of storm card. His grace is there to see you through the storm to the other side. The promises of God are actually for the storm in your life. Think about it. Why does God got to give you all these promises if everything is meant to be just roses the minute Jesus comes into your life? No, Jesus comes into your life and God gives you promises in the Bible so that now that you have a relationship with him, your prayers are connected to his promises to fight your storm. You're able to go to God in the midst of your storm and say, God, here's what you said my life should look like. Right now, circumstantially, it's not there, but I can pray that we get through this to where it looks like this verse right here, because you said that's what it's supposed to look like. And you can pray in faith, not just because you're a positive person, but because you serve a God who said so and gave you the authority to say that. If everything about your life was going to be rosy just because you invited Jesus into your life, God wouldn't have had to give you those promises. But for every storm, there's a promise. You might be in a relationship storm, but there's a promise about forgiveness for you. You might be in a financial storm, but there's a promise about God blessing and causing a reaping of what you have sown. You might be dealing with struggling as a parent with your kids, but there's promises about where that next generation is going to go that you can hold in your heart. Number three, the presence of a storm is not a message from God. Oh my, we've gone to preaching now. The presence of storm is not a message from God. This is probably one of the most common accusations made towards God when people go through storms in their life. It doesn't always get expressed the same way, but the most common expression of this thought is to simply say this: why? Why did this happen to me? As though everything going on in your world has this predestined God intention And at the root of this notion is this idea even that bad things, you know, don't happen to good people. So there must be something wrong with me, and God has brought this storm into my life to deal with something in my life. Well, there's a small vein of truth to it in the sense that we reap from what we sow. And so how many of you know something? You can create your own storm. Yeah. I've been there. I've made some storms. I've created them. It's like, look, I got a storm, but I made it. I'm a storm maker. Some people are storm chasers. I'm a storm maker. I know people just open their mouth up and whew, storm. It's like storm season is upon us as they enter the room. And if there are storms where snow, you could ski in July in Jasper. I mean, just storms. But the idea that bad things happen to bad people isn't a truth to build your life on. If you believe it, then every time your life goes into a storm, you go introspective. You begin looking for what's wrong. You think God must have something against you. He's trying to teach you something. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 2, it says, "And Jesus said to them, 'Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all the Galileans because they suffered this fate?'" He's talking about something that happened to some people. And he's saying, do you think what happened to them was because they're bad people? Do you think that's what it is? And then he goes on to say this, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than the men who lived in Jerusalem? Do you think they were bad people? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Jesus is asking this question, saying, do you think that what happened in their life is some kind of message from God because they were bad? Do you think it's a message that happens in your life every time something doesn't go right, that somehow God is involved in the storm that's happening in your life? Do you think that bad things only happen to bad people? No, bad things happen to everybody without fault. As a matter of fact, if you read the book of Job, you find out that he was a great guy that still had to endure some terrible things that went on in his world. So when it's cold outside, we all feel it. The temperature doesn't ask, are you a good person or a bad person? Just if you're a bad person, you're going to freeze, but if you're good, we're going to take it. No, it affects everybody. 1 Kings 19:11, and Elijah the prophet is waiting to hear from God, and he's there in verse 11. We're going to pick up on the story. It says this, "So he said, 'Go forth and stand.'" This is the angel of the Lord telling him, "You need to go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by." He says, God's going to speak to you. So here he is. Get this picture. He's standing there. He's waiting to have an encounter with God. It says, "A great strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord." So there's this massive wind. "But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was this earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle blowing. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face with his mantle. And he went out and he stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" I want to spin off of this scripture and bring it very current to you and I and say to you that when the hurricane hit Houston, Texas, the Lord was not in the wind. When the earthquake hit Mexico, the Lord was not in the earthquake. When fires burned all summer long in British Columbia, the Lord was not in the fire. Come on. When cancer hits your body, the Lord was not in the cancer. When you got laid off because of a downsizing, the Lord was not in the layoff. When bankruptcy hit your business, the Lord was not in the bankruptcy. When your marriage became your divorce, the Lord was not in the divorce. God is not using storms in your life to send you a message. God is not using storms in your life to send you a message. My Jesus calms storms. My Jesus gets me through storms. My Jesus gets me to the other side of the storm. And by the way, when I get to the other side, it's as though I've never even been through one when he gets finished with me. When I think it's all over, it's not over. Why? Because I got my Jesus in the boat with me going through this thing. What kind of an image do people have of God when they think that he sends messages through disasters and chaos into people's lives? That's not my Jesus. People try to assign the will of God to storms, and it's just wrong. In fact, Proverbs 19:3 says, people's own foolishness ruins their lives. But in their minds, they blame the Lord. And I've watched people do that, haven't you? Make a lot of stupid choices, do stupid things, and then become cynical towards God. Like as if God was supposed to override their stupidity. It's like, man, own your stuff, man. I'm sorry, but the way this world works is God loves you so much, he gave you free will, so that you can exercise it with wisdom and smarts, or you can be stupid. But when you're stupid, don't blame God for what's going on in your life. God didn't send the storm. Some storms were created by our choices, so don't assign blame. Here's the other side of it. What about the storms that happened? And it wasn't about our choice. It just happened, like Job, in the book of Job. Job's life goes into a storm. He has sickness. He has financial loss. He has tragedy. He has death in his family. It's horrible. But look what it says in Job 1:22. It says, through all of this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Nor did he blame God. When my kids needed to clean up their rooms, I just told them, clean your room. I didn't burn the house down. It's like, Daddy, why'd the house burn down? If you'd have cleaned up your room. Listen, just because God is so gracious as to make something awesome out of a storm in your life doesn't mean that you should read something into the storm that was never intended. You shouldn't extrapolate the idea that this must have been the will of God. This storm must have been the will of God just because his grace rescued your life. Don't think, man, I went through this mess. I went through this financial mess, but look where I am today. I guess that financial mess must have been the will of God. No. Just because his grace got you to a different place doesn't mean that that was the will of God. Oh, we went through this messy marriage situation and it fell apart and all the rest of it. Don't think that somehow God was in that because now, you know, life has moved on and you're remarried and it's all wonderful. It's all great. Listen, I'm glad for you. That's God's grace. That is God's mercy. But do not look at what happened as though it was the will of God just because his grace rescued you in the midst of your storm. Listen, God was not on the side of the storm in that boat. When they got Jesus' attention, he didn't stand up and say, this is good. Could we throw a tornado in? A little bit of lightning, please. Maybe some stronger rain. No, he didn't. He got up and rebuked it and calmed it. He wasn't on the side of the storm. Jesus was on the side of the disciples and took a stand against the storm to protect them from being ruined. And when Jesus wanted to teach his followers something, he just spoke to them. He used his words just like he does to you and I today. Number four. The presence of a storm does not mean that you are out of the will of God. The presence of a storm does not mean that you are out of the will of God. On that day, the disciples were crossing the lake, and it wasn't their idea. It was Jesus' idea. He led them to do that. He got them out there in the first place. They couldn't even turn and blame one another. It's like we're following Jesus and he said, cross the lake, and now we're in this storm. And they're probably thinking, if I hadn't listened to you, Jesus, I wouldn't be in this situation right now. And that, you know, there's many times where people are following God and doing exactly what God wants them to do, and they are 100% in the will of God, and they are fighting the fight of their life. It happens. But it was following Jesus that got them there. And so the thing to understand is that between you and your destiny that God has for you, that you are following him after, there can be a storm in that journey. Just because I am following Jesus, just because I'm doing life Jesus' way and his leading and what he wants for your life, and you're doing all of that and your heart's in the right, doesn't mean there won't be a storm. And it doesn't mean that when a storm happens, oh, I must be out of the will of God. I must have missed it. No, no. You can be right smack in the will of God and say, man, I want to build a great marriage, but you have to go through a storm. I want to raise kids that love God and follow God, but I'm experiencing storms along that journey. I'm experiencing challenges. I'm trying to build a business. I believe God wants to prosper me, and then he wants to use me to be generous. And in the midst of doing all of that, and man, I got this idea. I've been praying about it, and God gave it to me, and it's working, but I'm dealing with storms, man. You're managing your finances. You're working on overcoming debt in your life and changing all of that. But there's storms. It's called the West Edmonton Mall. No, moving right along. There's all kinds of things that we can be doing where we are smacking the will of God. We have not left the will of God, but there's a storm along the way. Between you and your destiny, there can be a storm. God has set the course. You're in the will of God. You haven't left it. You just need to learn how to fight through your storm. You just need to learn how to fight through your storm. You know, the Apostle Paul lived in the will of God, preaching the gospel and starting churches. But as he wraps up his life, what does he say? I fought the fight of faith. He refers to his journey of obeying and following Jesus as something that had some fighting that went on with it. Listen, as David progressed with his life and progressed with his journey and experiences of God in his life, he doesn't stay back at Psalms 10, verse 1, where it's like, I'm in trouble, where are you? He ends up at Psalms 46, verse 1, where he says, God is our refuge and strength. He's an ever-present help in trouble. It wasn't God, where are you? It's like, God, you are here, man. I'm going through this, but I know that you are here. The disciples were asking, where's Jesus? Jesus is asking, where's your faith? Number 5, God is with you in the storm. God is with you in the storm. Whatever it is you're going through, you need to know that God's with you. Whatever it is that you are dealing with in your life, some of you are in a storm right now, you need to know God is with you. You're not out of the will of God. He hasn't jumped off your boat because it got rocking. He's right there with you. God is with you. He's with you in the storm. Jesus was in the boat, didn't leave it, didn't decide this would be a good time to do the walk on water thing. One of the phrases spoken to people in the scriptures in various forms goes something like this: don't be afraid, I'm with you. Don't be afraid, I'm with you. He said it to Abraham, he said it to Isaac, he said it to Jacob, he spoke it to Joshua as well as he was about to lead Israel into the promised land. Don't be afraid, be courageous, I'm with you. It's the starting place of dealing with your storm to simply know that in the midst of your storm, God's with you. And by the way, he's on your side, not the storm side. He hasn't abandoned you. You're not alone. You haven't offended him out of your life. Well, what if I caused the storm, man? What if I'm one of those guys where it's like, I just made some stupid choices. I got a storm and I know it's my fault. Well, I got good news for you. We serve a Jesus who says this: I'll be faithful even if you're not. That even in the midst of you causing the storm, God doesn't go, I'm out of here. You are so done. No, he says, I'll be faithful even if you haven't been, Even if you've messed up, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to stick with you. And his faithfulness stays there. And God is with you. And he's on your side to see you through the storm. So he says this, don't be afraid. In other words, don't choose fear. The disciples in this story responded by saying, Master, Master, we're gonna drown. We're in trouble here. You know, fear can start as an emotion, but it can become a way of thinking. It's a way of thinking. It's when our thoughts get stuck on the worst possible outcomes of our life, that we go into a storm and our mind just races towards how bad can this get right now? But you know, the scriptures also say that he is with you to save you and to deliver you. To save you and to deliver you. That day, the disciples experienced the ultimate storm victory, where the storm subsided. Safely, they go to the other side. And I love those stories, don't you? I love those stories. I love those, man, I was in a storm, but it all turned around. And it all changed, and I got through it, and man, I love those stories. I have those stories. Many of you have those stories. You know, I'm in this relationship storm, but it got resolved, and now it was peace. I'm dealing with a financial storm, but it all turned around, and now we're doing great, and man, I nearly lost out, but now I got some victory going on. I was going through this sickness, but I got a miracle. I got healed. Man, I love those kind of storm stories, where everything turned around and we got the boat to the other side and the storm is over. But what about the storms that don't turn out that way? Joseph could not stop 13 years of captivity. Had to go through it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could not stop being tossed into a fiery furnace. You read the story in the book of Daniel. Paul tried to convince some men, it's not a good day to go out in the boat. I know you want ice cream, but we really should not go out in the boat. And they decided, no, we're going to go. And he couldn't stop that, and the boat got shipwrecked. But in all of these cases, and many more throughout Scripture, we watch that God was with them as he promised to save and to deliver. Joseph did not live out the rest of his life as a bitter person. He got delivered not just in the sense of being set free from his captivity, but set free from what that could have done inside of him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego not only came out of the fire, but they came out of the fire completely delivered. The scripture says they didn't even have the smell of smoke, and they couldn't see where they got burned. Paul made it safely to land, even though the ship did literally got shipwrecked. He made it safely to land. Not only that, he eventually made it to Rome, his destination where he wanted to go in the first place. After Jesus stopped the storm, he turns and he asks this question, where's your faith? And really, it's implying, don't lose your faith when you're in a storm. Don't stop believing God's grace to see you through when you're in a storm. Don't doubt that God will answer your prayers when you're in a storm. Instead, what you need to do is do exactly what Jesus did, which is to speak the opposite of the experience that he was having. Jesus spoke calm into the midst of that storm. And when your storm is telling you, hey, there's no future, there's no hope for you, it's just a mess, you can pray and you can speak to your storm and you can declare Jeremiah 29:11 that says God's got plans for welfare, not for calamity, for a future and for a hope. When the storm is telling you, you're never going to make it financially. You're always going to struggle. It's always going to be that way. You can declare and pray in your storm. Deuteronomy 8:18 that says, God is giving you the power to make wealth. When the storm is trying to bring fear and confusion into your life, you can pray against the storm and you can declare 2 Timothy 1:7 that says, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Listen, the more you fill your heart with the promises of God, the better prepared you are to walk through your storms and to declare God's future over your life. He's with you in your storm. Let's stand as we take a moment to pray. And I want to pray first of all that for salvation, for people that need to invite Jesus into their boat, if I could put it to you that way. We talked about God being with you and all the rest of it, but the starting place of God with you is when we simply open up our hearts to Jesus. And we say, Lord, I have sinned. I'm not a perfect person, but you are a perfect Savior. And we simply ask him to forgive us, invite him into our hearts and say, God, I'm willing to follow you. I'm willing to believe in, not just believe in you, but to follow you. And I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my Lord. I'm inviting you to get into my boat as the master of my life. I want to invite you just to bow your heads right now. We're going to pray right now and give you the opportunity to do that, to begin your journey, to begin a relationship with Jesus. And I just want to invite you to go ahead and bow your heads as we pray. And I want to ask how many here, with just a show of hands, just to give me a wave and to let me know, hey, you know what, Pastor? Count me in on that prayer. I want to invite Jesus into my boat. Can you just raise your hand? Just give me a wave to say, hey, I'm count me in on that prayer. Thank you guys over here. Count me in on that prayer. Just give me a wave. That's awesome. You guys can put your hands down. Let's pray with those who are praying here today. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you gave your life for me. I ask you to forgive me. I invite you into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. I'm going to follow you with all of my heart. Thank you for coming into my boat as the master of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you would like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.